Well, I hope you enjoyed my message last night. I mean, it was every scripture, even some of the same examples that I was going to use. And I was talking with Bronk about it. And then Nathan comes in and he like cleans the rest of the meat off the platter this morning. And so Bronk and I were talking and said, they left us nothing but bones. These young whippersnappers. They're both of them about 33 years old. My favorite cereal bowl is older than that. And I'm not exaggerating. Sue and I have been, this is our 44th year, and I had that bowl when we got married. I didn't even get saved till I was 33. I'm going to do like Dave did that time. When we said, show us your dust, we didn't mean it. No, actually, we do. We do. I'm glad to see it. My goodness, what's this next generation going to be like, you know? Glory to God. No, that was fabulous. And I just want you to know now, Nathan's this morning was wonderful. That unity. And he and I get to talk a little bit behind the scenes, and we're pressing into that. I know all of us are pressing into, could I say oneness? I don't mean unity horizontal. I'm talking a unity and a oneness vertical with God. And I love the vision, the pictorial that you did. It was wonderful. But now I'm going to talk tonight. You can open up to John 15. I tell you that by now. Sorry. And then when Richard said tonight, open up to Luke 5, I nearly ran up here and slapped him. Because Luke 5 is one of my main scriptures I'm going to use tonight. But thank God he didn't use that one. So glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about the pruning tonight. How the Father prunes us. So the reason I said about Nathan in this oneness, I'm going to drop several low levels below where he was teaching this morning. What I'm talking about is going to seem more compartmentalized. Where the Father dealing with Gary and not so much oneness. We're trying to get there, but most of my examples has been on this path of getting there, okay? But I want to let's talk about the pruning. So with John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus makes the distinction. He is your life, but it's the Father in him. So they're both in you. But Jesus himself makes this distinction. He says, now I'm the life, I'm the vine. But it's my Father who is the husbandman. Now you think about that. God the Father is raising children. We are the children. Isn't that right? And we're all at some level of maturity, some more than others. And age and gray hair has little to do with it. You know, I've met people that's been Christians 30, 40 years that are really, they're pretty much in babyhood stage. Then I've met these youngins, 33 years old, and I'm going, dear Lord, the wisdom that they're already operating in, you know. And I praise God for that. But it's our Father with each and every one of us is the husbandman. So let me read a little further. It says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Now every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Now, let's just prunes it. I'll just tell you this. If you're the branch and you see the pruning shears coming, you're going, what's this? This doesn't look pleasant to me. What's about to happen? Wait a minute. I was a happy little branch. What is this coming out of prune? What is this? It's not always pleasant at the moment, but the end result, if you let him have his way, you're going to have more fruit. I didn't see this early enough. You know what part of the problem is? I say I didn't see it early enough. If I'd have seen this earlier, I'd have stopped somewhere on the way and picked up a dead stick somewhere along the side of the road. You know the problem with a lot of us, I just heard all of us, is we've got these dead branches sticking out of us that we're so accustomed to them, we don't think they're dead branches. It's just who we are. I'm okay. I mean, this is just who I am, you know. We could talk about a worry limb. I was listening to Dad Hagen a little bit on the way down here, and he said that was one of, he says, Matthew, he was going through the Gospels, he'd gotten saved, he was reading through the Bible for the first time, and he was just doing great until Jesus gets to Matthew chapter 6, and be not anxious or worry about anything. Right there we got a problem. He says, Lord, don't you know that my mother and my grandmother are world champion warriors? And they put that into me. What do you mean, don't be anxious or worry or fretful about anything? And it took him a while. He found he had a dead limb of fret and worry and anxiousness that had to be lopped off. That doesn't always happen in a moment. But anyway, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But if you can picture, most of us are walking around with dead limbs that we don't even think, we don't even recognize them as being there. It's just who we are. We're so accustomed to it. Well, that's just who I am. I'm okay. And God's looking at you. You got this giant worry limb coming like right out of your forehead like a unicorn. You know, you got this worry limb right out of your forehead, you know. Or self-worth, low self-esteem limb or something. Anyway, we'll get to limbs in a minute. So verse 2 again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, purged, pruned, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Here he says it again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now he says it again, for without me you can do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 6, to me, is the book of Hebrews. That's the warning of the book of Hebrews, that you better abide in me. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. You try any other way, even going back to the law of Moses to save you, you're going to wind up being withered. He couldn't draw a more perfect picture. You're going to wind up in hell. You're going to wind up being burned. So whatever you do, never trust anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. Trust in him, okay? But let's go on beyond there. I don't think anyone in this room is in danger of that. Now, verse 7, if you abide in me, in this part, and my words abide in you. I want to say it again. They need to abide big in you. They need to abide real close to your consciousness. His words you need to eat his word. You know, even Job said, his word is more to me than my necessary food. Listen, if you don't eat food, you're going to get weak physically. If you don't eat the word, you're going to get weak spiritually. And I don't care if you go to church and you do sing and you do all those things. I mean, I love all of that, but you've got to have his word. It's life to you, just like food is to your natural body. You have to have it. Okay, that's not the message, but it's a good one. If you abide in me and my words abide, live. And I'm going to say live big in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now herein is my Father glorified. Do you know when you have answered prayer, when you're doing this correctly, and you're habitually, your pattern is answered prayer? You know who that glorifies? If you're doing it right, it's glorifying him. You're not building your name on it. It's glorifying him. Okay? So let me read that again. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Man, we could go on there. Now, let's talk about pruning. Let's talk about See, I wish I had the same testimony as Richard, where he just served God his whole life. He never really went in and into rebellion and lived out in the world and sin. Bronk Flint has very similar testimony. Got saved and filled very young. You know, it's the most boring testimony ever. You know, I got saved as a little boy, got filled as a little boy, served God my whole life. Yawn, you know. But I wish I had that. I mean, to me, that's right. That's the right way to do it. See, that's the right way to do it. I wish I had that testimony, but I don't. So it depends on how you came into the kingdom. I don't know how much of what I'm going to tell you tonight applies to you, but each of us, all we can do is share our own testimony and our own walk, you know. I was not like that. I was raised right. I did have an experience. I believe I got born again when I was a little boy, 7, 8, 9, right in there somewhere. I never did get filled with the Holy Ghost, so they didn't teach that at that church. But that's no excuse. See, the new nature alone is powerful enough for you to walk above sin. I can't blame it on not being baptized in the Holy Ghost, although that is a great help. He is the helper. But anyway, about the time I was an age where I had a car and discovered girls, my rebellion really began, and it got bad. I mean, I believe I went so far the light went out, and I didn't come back to God till I was the age of Richard and Nathan now, which is 33. Well, that's when I really came back to the Lord. And I say that, really came back to the Lord. I wasn't sure he'd take me back. I still remember the prayer, 4th of July, in my living room, about 2 o'clock in the morning, 1980. And I listened again to two of those messages that Michael Muccio had taught from that little Bible study, just to make sure I understood again. And I still remember the prayer. I said, I just bowed by myself in my living room. I said, Lord, I know you're real. I know I walked away from you. And I'm really sorry about that. I don't really know if you'll take me back or not. But I promise you this, if you will, you're never going to have to come looking for me again. And he hasn't had to. Man, I was 33 years old. I was the same age as these guys. And I envy where they are at age 33. See, did I say turn to Hebrews? I didn't. Well, turn to Hebrews. Let's talk about the first level of pruning. First level of pruning. So Hebrews chapter 8. See, with every person, when you get born again, and thank God he will take you back. I don't care how far you've walked away from him. I don't care how long you've been away from him. He will take you back. My Bible said his mercy is new every morning. His mercy never comes to an end. Long as there's a breath, there's hope. Come back to him. Okay. So when I came back to him, I was born again. And this is what happens to every person. Now, it may not have been as radical. I mean, I think I heard names get tough with Richard say he doesn't even know the day he got born again. Okay? Well, I do. Because it was such a radical change that happened in me. So in Hebrews 8, here's what happens when you get born again. It's Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I, the Father, will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That day I got born again, I am telling you, everything didn't change on a dime, but immediately there was preaching going on from the inside. There was a new sheriff in town. There was a preacher. He wasn't there the day before, but all of a sudden, there's this knowing of preaching something from the inside, and it's saying things that this alcohol's got to go. These dirty jokes have got to go. This cussing, the way you're talking, that's got to go. Oh, and you need to find a church to go to. up until then, I'm looking for a good bar to go to. And pornography's got to go. And now, did it happen instantly the very first day? The voice did. The other thing that came into me immediately was a hunger for the Word of God. I remember, I didn't even care about my job. I mean, I really didn't. I'd get up in the morning, have bedhead, sloped hair like this, and my blue bathrobe, sitting there. I'm sitting there at my dining table, smoking my cigarettes, got a bourbon and Coke, reading my Bible and crying like a baby. Not understanding hardly anything I'm reading. And I'm just, I love Jesus. How you doing? Jesus. You know, I look crazy. You know, I'm just, Sue's walking by. You know, what's wrong with him? You know, because it just happened in our house. I happened to get saved first. You know, like usually it's the woman, but in our house it was me. I'm moving these batteries because I keep making noise with them. There they are. Now my watch. No. But see, if you fast forward a month, within a month or so, alcohol was gone. I think within the first 2 weeks that pornography left the house, I had sacked it all up, off to the dump it went. You know? I went to bed a drunk and woke up not a drunk. Never had a withdrawal symptom one. He can do that. You know, he can do that. But it was still up to me. Now, I mean, I had many temptations there at first because that was my go-to thing. And I had to resist every time, but I did, thank God. So I've got on here alcohol, dirty jokes. I didn't even want to hear them anymore. I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And I didn't want to tell them anymore. Cut the barber shop, I had never noticed it. Back in those days, we had men, you know, men did not go where women went to get their hair cut. Now, nowadays, we're all in there together, you know. But back then, the men had theirs and the women had their place, you know. And I had never even noticed. The next time I went to get a haircut, there's a bunch of these old guys around there. Now, all they're doing is telling dirty, sick, sexual jokes. Cussing. I never even noticed it before. Now, I can't stand it. I can't do this. I had to get out of there. Didn't even stay for my haircut. Anyway, what I'm saying, there was this early pruning of a lot of stuff real quick. Okay. Now I'm going to fast forward. See, I'm going to give you all these 40 years. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. And so the reason I put down some things as I was praying, specific things that he wants me to share with you. When I was here a month ago or so, I shared this because we're all talking about identity. See, there is an identity crisis in the church. We don't know who we are. Gary, part of Gary's identity, and here's a limb that I had always had this limb. I didn't even know it was a dead limb. I had always had this identity of, because I grew up in a construction family, I always had a pickup. I always thought of myself as a concrete and dirt and shovel kind of guy, you know, and a pickup was just always part of my life. Well, within those first early days, you know, God's trying to change. He's calling me to be a preacher. I don't need a pickup anymore. But my identity is so tied up with this pickup. Finally, one day, now this, I'm going over, this is years, okay, years later. Finally, one day, the Lord says, I want you to give your pickup to so-and-so. And that so-and-so was my worst enemy. I don't want to say his name. This guy was doing everything he could to cause me trouble. And God says, give him my beloved pickup. I actually said this out loud. What pickup? I only had one. He couldn't be talking about that one. What? Give my pickup to him? This guy that's doing everything he can to destroy me? Yes, sir. You're going to see this. God is trying to teach us all, people are more valuable than things. People are more valuable than money. People is what the kingdom of God is all about. I did not know that then. All I knew was give away your pickup. And then he says, I want you to wash it and wax it and fill it up with gas. So the way I normally washed our cars, there was a Mr. Clean down on Peoria, and I would take our cars down there and sit there while I go through, and you get out there, and they, because they'll shampoo the rugs, whatever you need, they'll really do it nice, you know. So now get this, he could have told me this before I left the house. He let me drive over there. It was real busy that day. The line was clear out the back and almost out to Peoria. I could barely get off this. I sat there for like 20 minutes pulling up one vehicle at a time. I'm like the next one in line. And then he says, no. I said, for you to wash it. I said, for you to wax it. What? Pull out of the line. They're looking at me like, you're next. I'm pulling out of the line. How did Dave say that? I'm driving home with my lower lip interfering with the gas pedal. Go home, I tell Sue what it is, so bless her heart, she comes out there. We spent hours working on that pickup. By the time we got through, that pickup never looked so good in all the years that I had it. I mean, everything was, I waxed it. I did what he said. Filled it up with gas. So, you know, you start coming up with all these scenarios. Boy, when I take this to my worst enemy, he's going to drop to his knees. He's going to apologize to me for everything that he's ever said. This is it. I see what you're doing, God. You're using this to make my enemy be at peace with me. Yeah, that's what, because it's really all about me, right, God? So you're going to, yeah, I see what you're doing now. I got over there. Sue followed me in the car. Got down there, and I had the pink slip with me, and I already signed it. I just walked up to him and gave him the keys and the pink slip. Title, if you don't know what that is, pink slip. And I said, God told me to give you my pickup. He said, really? He just threw the title and the keys on the ground and said, I don't even want your old pickup. I said something real spiritual like, well, you got them anyway. And I walked off. Got in the car. Are you nuts? What are you doing? You know, having me give away my pickup, you know? I'm really shortening this down because we got some other things to get to here. Come to find out, God was doing everything he could to rescue that particular man. That guy had a calling on his life that was phenomenal. But he had gotten into some error, and it was causing a lot. It wasn't just me who was causing problems. He was causing a lot of problems. God was doing everything he could to rescue him. It wasn't about me, really. Well, a little bit it was. He's teaching me. But really, that whole thing was God trying to rescue that guy. And God, I'm sure God did many other things to try and rescue him. You just fast forward 3 or 4 years, and he was killed in an auto accident. He's already gone. I'm sure he's in heaven. But boy, is there a loss of reward. But I look back on it now, and I just thank God. If God was trying to use my little old pickup to try and do anything to reach this guy, I'm sure glad now that I obeyed God. Okay? Now, my identity, because this is about identity. My identity still was so tied up with a pickup, and I still had just a little bit left in me of that hundredfold return thing that had been taught so strong in the 80s. I thought, now let's see. I sold my only pickup. Boy, a hundredfold return. I bet the pickup God's going to give me back. Man, I had visions of long bed, you know, crew cab, raised up off the ground, V8, Hemi, Laba Laba, you know, Laba Laba Laba. I have a cam in there where the thing would rock a little bit when it idled, you know, Laba Laba Laba, like this, you know. You know what God gave me? God, don't ever tell me God does not have a sense of humor. I'm not going to tell you the brand, but God gave me a little micro pickup, little white pickup. Instead of going Laba Laba when you drive it, it goes ying, 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 shift, ying, 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 shift, road like this, little short bed pickup thing like this. I was going to have back surgery before, you know. And that's just to the grocery store. I mean, God. It didn't take very long. I'm going, okay, I think I'm getting this. I don't think I really need a pickup anymore. I think I understand. So he let me give that one away, and I've never had another pickup since. But see, he's changing my identity. He's changing how I didn't know I had a big old dead stick sticking out there called Pickup Gary. construction Gary, you know, he's changing who I am and how I see myself, you see. And it was that's a pruning process for me. Now, I'm going to give you something that you haven't heard. I don't know that it's been many years since I've talked about this one. This happened in either 1998 or 99. If Sue was here, she would know. But these were in the days when we were just starting out and money was staying away in great abundance. Nobody knew us hardly. We just barely had started into ministry at all. Literally, we didn't know from day. It was during that time you've heard me say, we did not die today. But based on everything we see, surely we will die tomorrow. Because there was just nothing. But I preached a message at a conference, and it was at the prayer center, one of the first times I ever ministered. And in that offering, some lady put in her wedding set, not just a wedding band like this one. The wedding set, I mean, what I'm saying, there'd be diamonds there. I had a friend that was in the jewelry, but I mean, it's in the offering. So they give us the offering later, and I'm looking at this, and we don't have two nickels hardly to rub together. I had a friend that was, you know, kind of in the jewelry. He knew about jewelry. I said, what is this? How much is this worth? He's looking at it. Oh, he said, between $5,000 and $8,000 in 1998. And we don't have two nickels. God has provided. Only thing is, I had this witness to call Tim Stemple. I called Tim Stemple and I tell him what's going on. I said, somebody, I don't even know who it was, somebody put their wedding set in this offering for us. And, you know, they tell me it's worth between $5,000 and $8,000. Well, what do you think I should do? Of course, I'm thinking he's saying, sell it and get the money and use the money right now. What did Tim say? Hang on to it. She'll call later and want it back. He didn't know who it was either. Wisdom. It's good to have people that have walked longer than you. And when they give you wisdom, please, you're better off to receive it. But that was, we did. I hid it. But I knew where I put it. I knew right where it was. And you think, I mean, you know, here we are. It got so bad during that time right there. I didn't have enough cash to put gas in my pickup to go work on my old rent house. So I'm just walking in the backyard praying in tongues. I don't know anything else to do. I can't even drive anywhere. We're out of gas. And I know where that thing is. But God's wisdom says, no, you can't use that. That lady is more important than the money out of those rings. You know, it was 10 months. It wasn't just right away. 10 months. I'll take after these youngins. That's a long time. And it was, our finances were, you know, it was a day to day. And you think I didn't think about that set of rings in that drawer? Probably 100 times a day. But finally the day came, we heard from her. She just had a nice letter, just apologizing. Said, I have no idea if you even still have that set. I don't know what come over me. But if you still have it, I sure would like to have it back. We gave it back to her. Praise God. People are more important than money. People are more important than finances. He will provide for you. At that stage of my life, what was seeking first the kingdom? Obeying him. Yeah. Learning that he is. See, here's another limb. If you would have asked me at the time, Alan and I tease about this all the time. Alan went through a similar time after they went full time, trusting God and learning. But if you would have asked me and Alan before that, do you trust God as your provider? I mean, you could have stacked up a stack of Bibles just shoulder high and in court. I would have swore on that stack of Bibles, I trust God as my provider. And I'm in it. Because I couldn't see the big old limb sticking out of me over here that's called fear of lack. And fear that he will, whether he will provide, not, okay, unknowing whether he will provide for me or not. I didn't know it was in there. I thought I believed it until he put me in a situation where I had to believe it. And I found out I wasn't just quite the hot rod that I thought I was. I found out that limb that was there, that limb had to be purged for where he was taking us. It had to go. You can't. I loved how his name over there, that guy right there, I love the offering. You can't walk this walk figuring everything out yourself. You're not Lord. He is. And the whole thing is to hear him and obey him. So it took a while for him, for that limb to be purged. But I've been at this so long now, even my natural soul, I promise you, my natural soul, not my spiritual mind, my natural soul will still come up to situations once in a while financially where maybe I ought to worry about this. I mean, this is bad. Maybe I ought to worry. And it's my natural soul will go, oh, he's already delivered us 10,000 times. He'll deliver us this time too. Let's just get some sleep. Let's don't stay up and worry. I can't even work it up anymore. I try. I'll try again. Can't worry, you know. Let me tell you about another one. Now, this is a little later on. And I love these people. And listen, you know who you are. And if you hear this, I love you. I appreciate you. I so appreciate everything you've done for us. But this is a great illustration of the pruning process we were going through. I know you were going through things. A great couple. They're not here in this room tonight. They've helped us a lot over the years in ministry financially. And they pray for us. They're good people, wonderful people. And they even got an inheritance one time. And they shared part of that with our ministry. It was several thousand dollars. And so this happened. This went for years. We've known them. Then out of the blue one day, I get a call from them. And they're going through a situation. And they're saying, you know that offering that we gave you a while back? We need $3,500 of it back. Now, Jim's eyes got real big right there. See, because in ministry, the money you give, you do know it doesn't stay in the account, right? Usually it goes out about as quick as it come in. I mean, you know. And $3,500 was a chunk, you know. And I said, well, how soon do you need it? Today's okay. You know, you just put it in the mail. It'll be here in a few days. That'll be quick enough. Oh, okay. And we didn't have that money in the account anymore to do that, you know. What do I do again? Ring, ring, ring. Tim Stemple? I told Temple. You're the temple. It's Tim Stemple. Anyway, I told him the situation. He says, well, you got to give it to him. It doesn't matter how you get it. I don't care if you have to borrow it. They are more important than the money. Your witness to them is more important than the money. He says, you don't need to explain anything. Just get the money to them. So we did. How is not important. God handled that part too, okay? But we got it to him. Now see, I can't tell you that was a little different situation than giving money like Bronx Testimony to sinners. These are not sinners. These are just Christians. Just Christians. These are good Christian friends who have helped us a lot, and I mean it so much. They had no idea we didn't still have it, okay? They didn't know it would be a burden to us, but it was. Okay. All right. But see, the promise on that one is seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things, what things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. All these things that the Gentiles, they live their whole life worried about those things. If you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, the promise is all these things will be added unto you. And they were. Can you tell? I haven't missed too many meals. Can you tell? We're okay. I mean, he's met all of our needs. Praise God. But things are going to happen. But people, see, the pruning is, this kingdom is about people. Money is a tool. It's just a tool. It's like the young man playing Mike, playing drums over here. Man, I'm watching them drumsticks just fly. I'm glad he's got those drumsticks, so I don't think it'd sound the same if he's using his fingers. You know? But the drumsticks, he probably could, but the drumsticks are a tool that brings it out better. Well, money is just a tool. It really is. And money, God help you if money is your source. He is your source. And he's pruning any limb off from us that doesn't have that fruit on it. Okay? All right? Hallelujah. Now we're going to go where angels fear to tread. Jim was talking about keys of the kingdom, and he mentioned quite a few, but I noticed how quickly he went past the fasting one. Because we liketh notteth to get stoneth, throwedest at us. Now go to Luke 5. Now here we go. But there's a reason for this. There's a reason for it. Now I got to tell you, Jim talks about the four pillars at the prayer center. We talk about the seven disciplines, you know. But I like how Jim, for here, listen, there's four pillars. The fasting, prayer, the word, and worship. In the word is many things. There's meditation of the word, confession of the word, obeying the word, and many things we could put in there, right? But that's the four pillars. And I got to tell you, the easiest two for me have always been the word and praying in tongues. Those were just, I love it, man. I can pray till my lips fall off on the floor, and I, the word is still. After all, I get lost in the word. You know, Dave would talk about getting lost in worship. He'd get a nice hot cup of Starbucks and he'd set it down. And the next time he's in worship, right? The next time he picks it up, his Starbucks is cold. You know, how did that happen? Well, I'm that way with the word. You know, I say, 4 hours went by? What? I've been here 10 minutes. I mean, that's like going to the movies. I mean, you get it in it anyway. So if you look at the four limbs like the four legs on a table, my word leg and my prayer leg are nice and long like they should be. My worship leg was shorter. My fasting leg was barely there at all. Tiny little short fasting, you know, wobbly. You ever tried to serve God's from God's slopety table? I had this real slopety table, and fasting was the shortest limb up until this last couple of years. And I don't know, I mean, I know we've all read this verse, but I have never, if it was preached this way, I didn't hear it until I heard it from the Holy Ghost. But it's Luke chapter 5. We'll pick it up in verse 33. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? In other words, Jesus was physically with them. Now get this verse. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Would you say this is the day when the bridegroom has been taken away from us? He is physically seated at the right hand of God in heaven? And it's like those four words just stood up off the page. My disciples right now, I'm with them, they don't need to fast. But in that day, when I'm taken away, if you're my disciple, then shall they fast. Hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, I've never heard it that plain. And I'm just talking about me, not you. But I apologized to the Lord that day that it really hit me. I said, Lord, for all these years I have called myself your disciple, and I had no right, because I do not fast. But you said, your disciples, then shall they fast. So let's start a good confession. Say, I am a disciple, and I fast. Fasting is part of my life, because I am a disciple. So Angie and I kind of started together. We started off with the Daniel fast, doing. I know it's a wimpy fast. You get to eat every day. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care what you think. It's been working. Well, then that went, we Daniel fasted for quite a while. And then we started doing one day fasting, you know, maybe once a week. And then we start putting 2 days together once in a while. And we've been doing it now for a couple of years. I'm going away little by little. I'm not doing any of that to get glory from you. I don't care what you think. I care what he thinks. I care what he thinks. But I got to show you this part, because go over to Matthew chapter 6. See, there's three things that we do that are supposed to be secret just between us and our Father. There's more than that, but there's three things in Matthew 6 that Jesus specifically talks about. Hallelujah. I hope that, yep. Okay. He talks about giving, prayer, and fasting. And all three of these, let's just take giving. Take Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that you do not your alms. Let's just substitute giving. Don't do your giving before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Look at me. This is a relationship thing. This is a you and your Father thing. And I got to tell you, when you do it right, and when you hear from him, I don't care if it zeros your bank account again. Some of the greatest joy that Sue and I have ever had is to have us just empty out our bank account, giving it to somebody. This was before the prosperity preachers turned it around on me. Just the joy that came from fellowship, knowing it pleased him, was all the reward that I needed. And we were so happy to do it. We didn't care if anybody else saw it. It's glory to God. And you met the need. And you felt like his hand. So I understood that, and we've grown in that over the years even more. Okay? Let's talk about prayer for a minute. And I want to talk about prayer another night. We'll really talk about it. But he says almost the same thing about praying. Come down to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Why? That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And I loved what Nathan said this morning. That closet's on the inside of you. That closet's everywhere you go. It doesn't have to be seen of men. That's you and your Father doing something in secret. That's what it's about. Amen? And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm going to tell you right now, he rewards you with answered prayer. Amen. And then your joy is made full. That's what Jesus said. Ask in my name that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Yeah. We'll teach on that more at another time. But the one I want to get to tonight is the fasting one. So come on down to verse 16. I'm going to tell on myself some more. We're talking about he's changing our image. So listen, I didn't have much trouble functioning in the giving part and fellowshipping with God. I mean, I enjoyed that fellowship when that would happen. I enjoyed prayer, especially if I got an answer. just praying in tongues or even praying for a specific need, I could see the fellowship there. But I got to tell you, let's read it first. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, now here it is, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When I started doing the giving, I could understand the relationship thing that Jesus was talking about. When I started doing the praying, I could understand the relationship part. But let me tell you, when I started doing the fasting, because my identity was still Gary, Mr. Flesh, here's how my fellowship went. Okay, I'm doing this. I'm not telling anybody. I'm going to fast, Lord. I'm supposed to do it unto you. This is going to be great. Until about 2 hours went by. And the hunger starts. And then 4 hours go by. What have I done? What commitment have I made? You love a man that swears to his own hurt and changes not. And I want to change, but I can't. And after a while, here's how my fellowship went. I hate to admit this. I thought you loved me. The Bible says you're a good father. Why would you want me to suffer like this? I don't understand this. I don't feel any anointing. What I feel is hunger. Do you understand? Hunger. I'm getting hangry. That's when you're hungry and angry. I don't know what kind of fellowship. Why would you want me to hurt like this? I don't see our fellowship getting a whole lot sweeter with this. It seems to be getting worse the longer. You want me to fast how long? I don't know about that. See, and that was before lunch. And I got to tell you, it was that way through the first fast and the second fast and the third fast and quite a while. I mean, it's been, you know, going on. I'm going, I don't get this fellowship. I understand the fellowship relationship with you on the giving. I understand the fellowship and relationship with you on the prayer. This fasting thing, I'm getting no joy out of this. And there, you know why? Because the only part of Gary that I identified with was Gary the flesh man. The part of me that was hurting. And it's, I don't even want to tell you how recently it's been. Where suddenly when that all starts, because it still happens, you still get hungry. Stomach. Who was it went a little long yesterday and I thought I heard thunder. But it was actually the rumbling of tummies all over the building, you know. You still feel it, all of that, you know. But what's happening now, my hope, my awareness of who I am is changing. I'm saying, Father, I can feel your pleasure that I'm finally growing up into who I am. And I'm bringing this flesh into subjection, just like you told me to. My flesh doesn't like it, but that's really not me. And I can feel your pleasure that your son is growing up, that I'm maturing into the man you really made me. My flesh still doesn't like it, but that's just too bad. I want to keep this up because your disciples do fast. And it's really changing me, and it's helping a whole lot. And I'm feeling a different relationship with him. A more mature relationship, even though my flesh still doesn't like it. I worry about people that tell me they like fasting. But anyway, my flesh still doesn't like, but I'm not that guy. I'm the one that's taken discipline over the flesh. I'm the child of God. I want to start saying son of God. See, I started out in this relationship because of Dave feeling like an orphan. Thank God I could put my hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost. Boy, I can preach for a month right there. I still love that analogy. But see, where he's bringing us, you're not supposed to still feel like no orphan. You're not really an orphan. He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Jesus said, the glory that he gave me, I'm giving that same glory to you. Thank God for Pastor Dave who broke that for us. That is the glory of sonship. You are not an orphan. You are a full-fledged joint heir son with Jesus Christ himself. That's the identity he's trying to bring us into. And this flesh that I'm wearing, that's just a tool like money. It's not really me. It's a tool that I'm supposed to have dominion over. And if it throws a hissy fit, well, that's what it's supposed to do. My flesh didn't get saved. But it's going to learn. I've already learned I can train it. It told me when I was giving up nicotine all those years ago and going through that war, it told me plainly it was going to kill me every day. No, nope, you're going to die. Everybody else made it, but you're going to die. I mean, it was horrible, see? But I didn't die. And I've trained it now. My flesh doesn't even want the stuff anymore. It doesn't want alcohol anymore. I've learned I can train that rascal. Now, I could also train it back to liking it again. See? But I'm training it right now. You eat, bless God. You eat, bless God, when I tell you you'll eat. And you'll eat what I tell you you'll eat. And that's the end of that story. I just pray to God he never takes away my coffee. But if he does, it's going. So far, I haven't heard anything, and I don't want you praying. Anyway. Well, I'm going to finish with this one. Go to Matthew. You're in Matthew 7. Going over to Luke 6. Let's do it there. Luke 6. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6 and thereabouts is the Sermon on the Plain. He taught that message everywhere that he went, I'm convinced. Let me on Luke 6. And we're going to start in verse 27. We're talking about pruning limbs. How does the pruning come? I've been giving you examples from my life. The pruning, some of the pruning that the Father has been doing. And it's going to continue, okay? You have to yield to that pruning, though. I had to give the pickup away. I had to start taking dominion over I had to start doing the fasting. I had to hold on to the wedding rings when everything in me said I needed the money. You understand? That kind of thing. Now let's go to this one. Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. No, wait a minute. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And we could continue on. That's far enough. In America right now, we have a great division between conservatives and liberals. And it doesn't matter to me. I'm a conservative, I'll tell you that. And I have problems with liberals. So we have two parties. We also have an independent party. But the two main parties, Democrat, Republican. Okay, I'm reading this passage. And the only people I see in my spiritual, the faces he's bringing up to me are the leaders of the liberal party. And he wants me praying for them. So I began to call down fire from heaven. No. Gary, you know not what spirit you're of, you know. Shall I call down fire from heaven? Because to me, to be honest with you, oh God, no, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to go there. See, because there may be liberals watching. Okay? We love you. I love you. So I can tell and it's the leaders. I'm not going to mention any names, but it's the leaders of that liberal party. He said, I want you to pray for them. Didn't it say pray for them? And I can't call down fire? No. And I'm trying. And I'm, you know, Lord bless. He said, bless them, Lord. I ask you to bless them. Again, it's kind of like that earlier, but you know I don't mean it. Just wrote sheer obedience. But I'm trying to do it, and I can tell I'm not making the connection. I'm trying to do it. There's nothing in my heart that wants to do it, but I know he's saying to do it. And I'm going to, I need to tell you this statement. He said to me, and I've heard it other places, but he really drove it home to me recently. Listen, your enemies, the ones he's talking about here, do you know on planet Earth, your enemies are the ones that need you the most? He's hoping he can find some Christians mature enough that'll lay down their life for these enemies. So I'm trying to pray for them, and I'm not making the connection. And you know what he brought to me of all things? He says, if my word abides in you, let's go back to it. Go to John 15. I don't want to misquote it. See, this is how you know to pray according to his will. Listen to me. His word is his will. And this is why he says over here in John 15, he says, Luke 15 will not work, by the way. Excuse me, let me get over there myself. John 15, he says, verse 7, if you abide in me now, and my words abide in you, then, I'm putting a then, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm going, Lord, how do I do that in this situation? I can tell you want me to pray to bless them and help them, but what do you mean, how can I apply this? Instantly, he took me back to a book I probably bought the first time 30 years ago. You've probably heard of it. It's called Prayers That Avail Much. Y'all remember that old classic book, Prayers That Avail Much? And what they did, basically, they would take the Amplified Bible, they would take scriptures, they would compose prayers for just about any situation that you might face, and then you can pray his word. And so I went back and found my, actually I did find my old copy, but I also bought it on Kindle, so I have it on my phone now all the time. Okay? And I started looking through there, and sure enough, there's a prayer for the American government. Now, if you're watching, and for friends in Australia are watching, or New Zealand, or Germany, or wherever you are, you can tailor this prayer for your country. We call them senators and congressmen. I don't know what you call them there, but you could tailor it for your country. Now, I'm not going to read you all these verses, but what I'm about to read, just write these down. 1 Timothy, in fact, this one I will read. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. You'll recognize it right off. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now notice, for kings and for all that are in authority. Would that include the conservative ones and the liberal ones? Aren't they all in authority? For kings and for all that in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, that's a good one. Write down these other ones. This prayer that I'm about to read is based on that one, that passage. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And then verses 21 and 22. Romans 8, 37. Psalms 33, verse 12. Proverbs 21, 1. Psalms 9, 9. And Acts 12, 24. I know that's quite a bit. Now, I would post this as a PDF with the message, but it's all copyrighted, and we're not allowed to do that, okay? So, buy your own copy. I'm serious as a box of rocks. Buy this. They have labored long. This is worth, it's $7.99 to have it on your phone everywhere you go. You need to pray for loved ones. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray forgiveness. You need to pray for your country. You need to pray for your lost dog. I'm telling you, it's in there. Okay? All right. So, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Based on his word, listen to this prayer. See if you can agree with this, liberal and conservative. Father, in Jesus' name, we give thanks for the United States and its government. We hold up in prayer before you the men and women who are in positions of authority. We pray and intercede for the president, the representatives, the senators, the judges of our land, the policemen, as well as the governors and mayors, and for all those who are in authority over us in any way. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them. We believe that skillful and godly wisdom has entered into the heart of our president, and that knowledge is pleasant to him. Discretion watches over him. Understanding keeps him and delivers him from the way of evil and from evil men. Father, we ask that you compass the president about with men and women who make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel, and do that which is right in your sight. We believe you cause them to be men and women of integrity, who are obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray that the upright shall dwell in our government, that men and women, blameless and complete in your sight, Father, shall remain in these positions of authority. But the wicked shall be cut off from our government, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Your word declares, your word declares that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We receive your blessing. Father, you are our refuge and stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and desperation. So we declare with our mouths that your people dwell safely in this land and that we prosper abundantly. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. It is written in your word that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whichever way you desire. We believe the heart of our leader is in your hand, and that his decisions are divinely directed of the Lord. We give thanks unto you that the good news of the gospel is published in our land. The word of the Lord prevails and grows mightily in the hearts and lives of the people. We give thanks for this land and the leaders that you have given unto us in Jesus' name. And if you can agree with that, you can say, amen. Amen. And I haven't had any trouble since. His word has to live in us. His word is the answer for everything. There are no answers outside of his word. And his word has to abide in us. And it wasn't abiding in me, but it is now. Praise God. I'm praying it. I'm being obedient again. And I can feel. I watch the horrible news and I laugh. I said, don't you know I prayed? Don't you know what's about to happen? God hears his word when it's praised. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. Yes. Glory to God. He's pruning off every dead limb so we can replace it with who he is and who he's made us. Giving us his word so we can pray it and he can answer. And we have those answers in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.